Good evening. So I'm just closed the curtains after a subdued but sort of magnificent sunset. We've had a glorious day, very, very sunny. A little bit cloudy, but lots of sun with some really, stark contrast shadows. And so warm today. I really have felt, and this is I don't know, the 15th, 16th, 17th of December, but for this time of year, absolutely the warmest I've ever known it here in Kent. And I've just been wearing a t-shirt, and so it's felt massively like summer, and I've actually sort of got up reasonably early for me, about 11 o'clock in the morning, and sort of have done some things. One of the things that I've done, apart from cutting my hair, which I've made a really good job of actually, it looks pretty stunning, I think. Well, it will do by the time I've washed it. I've put down a new carpet, and it's a pretty thick carpet. It's sort of blue with beige pink browns, and it's one of those Chinese ones, the super thick pile one, and I have to say it fits absolutely spot on at 7 by 6 foot, and I'm as pleased as punch with it. So the thing is about a carpet, you've got to move absolutely everything. So if you've got a table with stuff on it, first of all you've got to move the stuff, and then you've got to move the table, and then you're worried that it won't fit, and you've got to, I mean, it's a hefty great thing. I had to make sure I'd got it all in just right position for me to be able to put it down without shuffling it around too much. So anyway, I've put things back now, so I've got a nice empty table. The stuff is everywhere, but the table's empty, and I just have this magnificent feel of new carpet. It's not new, it's about 20, 25 years old, and it was in someone's bedroom, but it's been cut down to size for me, and I feel as pleased as punch. So as a result, I'm going to have some battered haddock with peas and a bottle of bubbly. Now, I have opened the bottle of bubbly, but I'll just pour myself a glass, talk about this one, and then I want to sort of drift on to talking about champagnes for Christmas and the New Year, and what we could perhaps also look at, which are really quality sparkling wines. So I've got a traditional champagne flute. I know the common sort of parlance these days is whatever you do, don't use a champagne flute. But I think, a really nice crystal champagne flute, gorgeous shape, this one from Dartington Crystal. I just, to me, it's got all the excitement in it. I'm just going to take a quick photo, if I can. Right, so what I've done is I've popped a little squeeze of fresh cut orange into the glass, and then I've poured the Brut Blanc de Blanc in over the top. So I've got a Buck's Fizz, you see, and the reason for it is that if you know champagnes really well, anything that's less than a Cremant is going to be delightful, probably has beautiful looks, fantastic bubbles and so on, but it will lack a little bit of the flavour, and it will taste a little bit bland, okay? Which a lot of people are going to like, because tons and tons of people just do not like champagne. They say it's too dry. So what I've actually got here is a £5.25 bottle of Barini Brut Blanc de Blanc, and the label, the look of the bottle is impeccable, and how they make it, fit into £5.25, I've no idea, because it's a French sparkling wine, and it's 11, 10, 10.5%, and it's bottled somewhere or other in France. But I mean, honestly, if you whatever occasion you've got and you want to put a lot of bottles out there, a lot of sparkling wine, £5.25. This is the best in Britain for that money. It's absolutely topping. A lot of punters just wouldn't have a clue it wasn't champagne. I mean, it says Bouc Blanc de Blanc, So, and it looks exactly like it, just doesn't say champagne on the bottle. Probably because it isn't, but it's the nearest thing for £5.25. But for me, it has a couple of qualities that would really, it's an admirable if you just start it out with a little bit of fresh squeezed orange. And the two qualities are that there's a very, very subtle, almost completely unnoticeable undercurrent of pear, which I don't want ideally in a sparkling wine, only because you can buy perry, and that's fine if it tastes of pear, and it's sometimes a brilliant sparkling choice. But it also just completely lacks the brioche mushroom of a champagne, and so we're left with all of the glamour, but none of the taste. That's all. But it is excellent. I think most people would actually prefer it way over and above champagne. So, for bargain basement, this has to be my top recommendation this season, both for New Year and, the various events that you might be having around Christmas. So when it comes to Christmas Eve, I always want to have a bottle of rosé sparkling wine. And this year I've got Sainsbury's Cremant de Loire. Now, Cremant's, they're around about £12, something like that. Some of them go right up to £17 for the Burgundy Cremant. But they're all absolutely excellent value for money. Right, and I think they're basically made like champagne, but as far as I know, they only have two fermentations, not three. Okay, it's the only really difference. They don't usually taste of the brioche mushroom that champagne has, which I'll talk about a bit more in a minute, but they do have all the bubbles, they have the sort of consistent texture, and again, most people would just much prefer to drink them. So we've got Cremant from Burgundy, that's the most expensive usually, and that's generally considered to be really, really, really up there. A very exciting wine, actually. Probably just a tiny bit of buttercream, so more like a Chardonnay. There's no specific, rationale between what grape varieties go into Cremant. It's whatever the locality specialises in, really. And again, because of that, because you're not got the big three grapes of Champagne, you're always going to be looking at a bit of fruit, sometimes a bit of pear, sometimes melon, pineapple, nectarine. There will be a little bag of that in the flavour, because they're using much fruitier, much less dry grapes. That's why people say I don't like champagne, because they're expecting a fruity drink, and that's the complete opposite of what you're going to get. So what I'm going to do is just try and talk through the various sparkling wines and arrive at champagne and see why it's different and whether it's worth the money. Okay, so we've got Cremant de Limoux. Now that one's absolutely brilliant. It's very difficult to go wrong with that, and that can have some fantastic, really bold flavours, but also be a magnificent fizz. Really, these wines have enormous cork popping excitement, I think. And I've only seen the Loire, I think I might be saying, in rosé and brut. I find the brut just a little bit boring. okay? But the rosé can be absolutely splendid. And my favourite Cremant is Alsace, so Cremant d'Alsace. And that's, you know, the wines of Alsace are just incredible. They're kind of exotic fruit and subtle minerality and some sort of chalkiness in there, a little bit of buttercream maybe. But yeah, so the Alsace is fantastically exciting. You can get one of those from Waitrose. You can get the others from Sainsbury's. The Burgundy one you can get from Waitrose. So Waitrose and Sainsbury's will keep you going there. And this Barini Blanc de Blanc, £5.25. Absolute spot on bargain, because it's a brilliant wine to mix with. So if you were going to put some brandy in, or you wanted to put some elderflower in, which is fantastic, and maybe drop a couple of blueberries in the top, go for that. That's Tesco's, okay? Right, so those are the Cremants. They are splendid, and they're absolutely brilliant for this time of year, you know. Obviously lots and lots of people prefer Cava and Prosecco. If you buy Sainsbury's cheap Cava, you are going to get one heck of a headache, okay? There's just something wrong about the balance, and it gives even me a headache, and I never get headaches from drinking. So there's something seriously wrong with Sainsbury's Cava, and I just won't drink cheap Cava because it's got absolutely nothing to offer at all. If you want, you know, Cava, spend at least £12, but, you know, ideally nearer 20. And if you can afford something really big at 50 quid, why not? I haven't tried anything like that myself, but, you know, a very fine Cava can be a very, very fine drink indeed. And it is completely different to everything else. It's just a one-off, you know, a really splendid Cava. It's almost silver in its approach. It's not usually buttercream, and it's not that crisp, sort of crystal clear minerality. It's not particularly fruity either. It's just like a whole embrace of silver and lemon, okay, with a little bit of cardamom in the best, you know. And in Prosecco, I mean, I almost never drink Prosecco because most of it tastes like cardboard and the rest of it is just dull and uninteresting. You know, it really is the most boring drink ever, and that's partly because, in my opinion, and most wine gurus do not share this opinion, but, you know, the bubbles are added in a steel tank, so there's no traditional fermentation. I don't dread to think where the bubbles were added in this Brut Blanc de Blanc. I'm not even going to go there. It's a very, very quality imitation, okay? So I think it's, I'm always happy to recommend it. It's really, really good. I mean, there just are dozens, probably hundreds, of other styles of sparkling wine that we almost never get to see. I mean, Waitrose had an absolutely brilliant one from Italy called Grillo. So Grillo is the grape varietal, and it was magnificent. And again, only sort of around the £10-12 mark. That was splendid. Kent Chapel Down have been doing a Bacchus, and that was about £12, probably about £20 now, but that was very, very interesting. So they're not exactly fruity, but they're definitely not buttercream or toffee or anything like that. They're just really vibrant wines that just, you know, pulsate with excitement. That's why I like them. What else do we get? I mean, one of the most exciting and interesting, unusual, but sparkling ones I've had in the last few years is Moldovan, what's it called? I think it's just called Cabernet Blanc. So it's Cabernet Sauvignon, a red grape varietal, done as a white sparkling wine. Now that's incredible. You can also get some unusual things from Australia and South Africa. And Sainsbury's do a Rosé Malbec, I think, which is a sparkling wine. And that's from Australia. That I've always enjoyed that. That is good. But I wouldn't go for any of the weird and wonderful things coming from New Zealand, to be honest. I've tried them and I just think, you know, Pelorus Bay. I mean, it didn't have anything to offer whatsoever. I would have rather sucked a damp sock. I really would. And that's all I remember from opening the bottle. I mean, the bottle was damp anyway, and it just tasted like damp sock, you know. I'm not saying it was off. I'm just saying it was boring. Okay, so you can waste money on these things. Sainsbury's Pink Prosecco, I've always found that excellent. It's the only Prosecco I quite like, actually. Most of them just taste of pear or cardboard. It's the most boring drink imaginable. So I'm just having a quick think over other sparklings. I always miss things out. I mean, you get some really fantastic red Shiraz and Ruby Cabernet in that from Australia, but I have to say it's not to my taste. I did taste a red sparkling from Italy, and that was orgasmic. It was called Occhinoco or something. I mean, I really can't remember, but it was excellent. That was fantastic. So, you know, the big ones obviously are Cava, Prosecco, Cremant and Champagne. But in England, we've got English sparkling wine. And people just don't know enough about it. And the trouble is that it sort of starts at £25-30 if you're lucky, and goes up to way over £200. And nobody's going to be particularly lucky, are they, going out and buying something for £200? I mean, for that money, you would expect it to be top quality. So I would say, this is my personal opinion, having drained many, many bottles over the years. Sussex and Kent English sparkling wine are the most well known, and they're very, very good, but they are not a patch on champagne, and that is my honest opinion. They cannot stand up to champagne. You can say what you like in trade fairs. You can say this one was hands on with Moët. say what you like. Right, I've drunk enough English sparkling wine. I have not met one that can hold its own against champagne. However, the most recent one I've drunk was called Westwell. Now, I haven't done enough research on it, but when I do, I will go to that vineyard and I will buy 6 or 12 bottles, because that is my latest find in English wine, Westwell. Right, it's a Brut sparkling that did stand up to champagne. And that really is something. And it was only around £30 a bottle. So I do highly recommend that. I'm not saying don't try Chapel Down Brut and Rosé. They are lovely. They are lovely. But there's always going to be a slight feeling of disappointment at the back. I mean, the best ones really are the wines that come from Ridgeview. You know, they are really, really top quality. They're still not as good as champagne. That's all I'm saying. People want to say they are as good as champagne. And then again, it depends what champagne you're talking about. I mean, there's a whole load of champagnes that you'll find in places like Lidl's and Aldi, which, you know, simply aren't worth the bottle glass that they're in. And you open them up and they're this sort of dark brown mark. It looks like it's been through the sewers a couple of times. And I don't want dark brown in my champagne. So the most iconic champagne is Veuve Clicquot in the very, very noticeable yellow label. And it is the most unusual of all the big brand champagnes. And the reason is that it's actually quite yellow. It's quite lemon in the glass, right? But it's usually, I mean, these are NV, so they struggle, but they do their absolute darn best, and they do a very good job of getting the balance the same from year to year. So NV is non-vintage, so they're not going to have a date on them. They use sometimes upwards of 50 samples of wines in their little locality in Champagne. And they have a board of tasters, and they do a meticulous job to try and keep the brand absolutely stable. Because, I mean, these brands, to be honest, 50 going on, I mean, they're, you know, at least £45 a bottle now, right? But it's fairly cheap. for what you're getting. And so, you know, you are getting something incredible, the making of it. You if you don't think champagne's worth £45 a bottle, you desperately need to get on YouTube and spend hours researching how they make champagne. And then if you need to, find out how they make the other wines as well. Okay. It's the meticulous care and craftsmanship that goes into making champagne, even at the £45 level, is just something else, okay? It's legendary, and it deserves its name, definitely. So the Veuve Clicquot is, you know, the one to really consider, in as much as it's absolutely iconic, and it is unique in being a rich buttercream and honey flavour, but that doesn't appeal to everyone. But what you'll often find is you can get just a slightly crisper, more crystal version of the same champagne if you go slightly upmarket, because they are more expensive, and buy the rosé. So I've had sparkling Veuve Clicquot rosé, and it's not the same wine at all, but it's an absolute notch even above. It is superb. So whatever you pay for rosé champagne, you definitely want to consider the Salmon Bilcart Salmon, and the Veuve Clicquot rosés. I mean, they're worth whatever you spend on them. Absolutely fantastic. All I want to say is, there's only so much wine in one bottle, so you will need to buy 4 or 6 bottles. You really will. You know, if you want a brand that is always going to wow people, you can't really go wrong with Moët and Chandon. But some people are really into Bollinger and Tattinger. I just have to say, I don't like either of them. And if someone offers me them, I try and look enthusiastic, but it's really quite a pained expression, and I have to just up it a little bit to look excited. I think they're dead boring, both of them. Don't like them at all. Don't like Tattinger. I think it tastes of cardboard. Bollinger tastes of wet umbrella. I mean, that's it, really. What else is really popular? The interesting ones like Monopole and that type of thing. They're all right. You know, they're good sort of Wednesday lunchtime with salmon sandwiches type of drink. But they're certainly not something I would ever introduce to any, you know, a celebration or an event or anything. They're just friend pops round, have some salmon and cucumber sandwiches, open one of those. And that goes for all those sort of brands, you know. The brands which you're under, well, they're somewhere between £30 and £45. Really, and honestly, you might as well drink Kentish sparkling wine, or Sussex is okay. Right, so I don't think much of them. The one I want to try up next is the Laurent Perrier, and also the Lanson, and believe it or not, Paul Roger. I actually haven't drunk those. I desperately need to drink those. So I can't say, but I think Paul Roger is, you know, it's pretty good. Apparently, Winston Churchill went through 42,000 bottles of that. No, I don't think it was all in one night. So recently I've had a Moët and Chandon Nectar Imperial. So that was in a black label, and it was only £4 more than the usual bottle. But it was what I would call a once-in-a-lifetime christening event type of champagne. I don't think most people would like it. It was massive mushroom and honey notes. It was very, very spectacular, but very eclectic, you know. So essentially, you've got certain styles of champagne, and beyond sort of £50 or £60, you're going to be looking at £175, £200, £250 a bottle, right? And those are usually either top brands like Dom Perignon or Krug, or there's somebody like Paul Roger's Sir Winston Churchill. It's a specific vintage, okay? And again, a lot of crafts goes into it. It's, you know, I can't say whether it's worth the money or not, because I haven't tasted them, I get a lot of fun out of a £45 bottle. So I'm not sure that I'd get that much more fun out of something that costs four times as much. I don't know. But what I do is, because I don't, I just don't consume at that expense level, right? But I do spend hours watching YouTube wine guru champagne tasting, and you get an idea of the big brands, the specials, you know. And what I've noticed is that in general, people do find that you can just tell when, especially when it's a blind tasting, they do get a hell of a lot more out of a Dom Pérignon than most wines, and they do spend some time going, oh, good gracious, you know, it's really crisp green apple, and they describe the wine in detail, a great deal more depth than most of the other wines in the tasting. So I think, you know, if you are offered Dom Pérignon, it's definitely worth a try. Whether you like it or not, I couldn't possibly say. I have no idea. So, I mean, we haven't even hit Asti, have we? Let's just go down to the bottom now and hit Asti. £4.69, Sainsbury's own. It's only 7% alcohol. Absolutely brilliant. It says on the bottle, sweet and sparkling. It's definitely sparkling. It's loads of fun. And if you don't mind sweet, it's gorgeous. It's not soapy. It's a very, very good, fun little wine. You know, and if you're driving, that's a pretty good idea. Have a couple of glasses of that, you'll be all right. So I don't despise that type of wine. I just treat it for what it is. You know, I'm not comparing it to anything. It's good. It's a good little wine, I like it. I'm just trying to think through and think. I mean, the other thing is, you know, like the bigger bottles, Magnums, which you don't usually see in shops. And very rarely these days do you see the half bottles, which is a shame because there's nothing nicer than a lunch with a half bottle of champagne. So I kind of, you know, I regret the loss of half bottles of champagne across Britain's shop shelves. But it's interesting to note, and not many people seem to know this, but when Winston Churchill was drinking champagne, and he drank two bottles a day, just about every day, as well as all the other alcohol he drank and of all the cigars and everything, the bottle was a pint because we weren't dealing in metric then. Okay, the bottles of wine everywhere now have somehow become standardized at 750 mil, which is, you know, slightly less than, but going on for a pint and a half of wine. But his were a metric pint, not a metric pint, an imperial pint. Right, they were 568 mil. He was drinking a pint of champagne, so he had a pint of champagne for lunch and a pint of champagne in the evening. And why? What would could possibly be wrong with that? It's 12%, and most guys would have 2 pints of 6% beer without thinking about it. So it wasn't excessive at all. Perfectly reasonable. Completely understand. I mean, he made tons of money long before he made any money in politics. He made tons of money from speaking tours in America and all around Britain. And he wrote prodigious amounts of books. You know, he was a journalist and an author. And of course, he was well connected. He was the grandson of the Duke of Marlborough. He wasn't a commoner, he was the honourable, but only being the honourable allowed him to get into the House of Commons. And he used that to his advantage all his life. And that's why he said, I don't want you to, you know, I don't want a title, I don't want to be Lord Churchill because I've, you know, I've made my life. Sorry. In the House of Commons. So he became Sir. Right, so you drink more sparkling wine because you don't cough so much. That's the point of putting the orange in. But I've got lots and lots and lots of sparkling wine now for the next few weeks. So that's the size that we're dealing with. I do think pint would be much better and 2 pint would be even better. Okay, I do think we're we're impoverished with this 750 mil gag. It's not good to be fair. But my favourite sparkling wines go to, and you know, even if I tasted the Dom Perignons and the £50 carvers and so on, and the really, really expensive English sparkling wines and that. And I hope to eventually, you know, but you're trying to craft an enjoyable experience of wine and dine, aren't you? So sometimes, you know, I've just got fish and chips and I'll have a bottle of Asti. It's fine. It's brilliant. That's all I want. I'll have an ice cream afterwards, maybe, you know. What I really love is the shop brand own champagnes. That to me is the Mount Olympus. Okay, so what I've got right in front of me, I'm just going to take some fish out of the oven because it will just cremate itself, I think. And you know, if there's one thing I don't want dead fish as such. So 2 seconds. Sorry, this is the most hodgepodge audio, I realise, but it's a subject that I have enormous passion about. Right, so how do they get the bubbles into sparkling wine? You know, there's the traditional method which champagne uses, where they leave the wine on the yeast and that creates a secondary fermentation, and then they leave it on the lees a little bit and they add some extra sugar and get a third fermentation. Again, do all the research you can on YouTube, because I'm probably wrong. I'm much more into drinking it than learning about it. My favourite rosé champagne, for easy drinking and affordability, was Tesco's. And my all-time favourite champagne is right here in front of me. And I've got it for New Year's Eve. It's Blanc de Noir's Sainsbury's Brut. Sorry, I've just got a really bad cough today. I don't know why. Right, Sainsbury's, it's now called Taste the Difference, but that's a bit gimmicky. They've always done it. For as long as I've been an adult, I've been drinking this pretty regularly. Sainsbury's Blanc de Noir Champagne Brut. It's £26, but you can often get it on a discount. It is absolutely the best value. And I haven't told you my favourite, you know, quality brand champagne. So my favourite quality brand champagne, without a splice of a doubt, is Mum. There is no better champagne than Mum. That is absolutely top notch, not least because it always impresses wine gurus, right, in blind tastings. But it's exactly what a champagne should be. And the nearest I know to it is this Blanc de Noir. Now, I don't know what grape varietals exactly the Mum uses. I think it's France's favourite brand, Mum, but honestly, get yourself some, because I mean, I wouldn't give you a thank you for, you know, like Bollinger, Tattinger, and all that. And you know, Moët's fantastic, but you know, I can't say really. I've got one that I shall try at some point. But a Mum is just great. Maybe I could do like a tasting between Mum and Moët, and then that's really intelligent, okay? But this one is Blanc de Noir. So what does it mean? Right, the Champagne area only deals in three grapes. And one of them is a grape which is used slightly down river in Burgundy, and it creates the amazing wine called Chablis. And that is the Chardonnay. And it's used to great effect in champagne. And if they only use it, they call it Blanc de Blanc. So it's a white wine made with a white grape. But if it's Blanc de Noir, it's P Pinot Noir or Pinot Meunier, or, you know, a combination of those. And if it's a rosé, it will have some of those in because it will be left on the skins to produce the pink. I find myself, could be wrong, but I find that the Chardonnay wines produce the buttercream, you know, really thick textures. The black grapes which make white champagne, it's incredible. It really is incredible. That's why I say research how they make champagne. I personally, I think champagne is worth every penny you spend on it. I really do. And of course, if you buy this Blanc de Noir from Sainsbury's or the Rosé from Tesco's, you'll spend a lot less pennies, about half as many, in fact. But yes, yeah, so it's made from the black grapes, and to me, the black grapes give a really crystal clear, absolutely steel cut, you know, platinum, almost white champagne. I can absolutely see straight through it, and that's what I want. That's what I want. Might not be what you want. That's what I want in a champagne. And that's why I do not appreciate the champagnes that come out looking like last week's sewage water. Now, because the wine in champagne is left on the lees and the yeast for some time, it develops these flavours of toast, brioche, bread, and often mushrooms, and it often has lots of other interesting flavors, but it's not going to have very much, if any at all, fruit, even in the rosé version. It's a wine that's top quality. It wants all of your attention, and it demands to be paired with, you know, exquisite food that's just right for the occasion. You know what not to love. So my top choices personally are £4.69, the Asti from Sainsbury's. There's a fantastic carver which Laithwaite's do, which I often buy at about £8. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's the best carver I've ever tasted, and it doesn't give me a headache. Prosecco, the only Prosecco I really like is Sainsbury's pink Prosecco, which is about £10 bottle, and actually that is ridiculous price, is a bargain. It really is good. But also try the Malbec pink from Argentine. That's pretty good as well. Don't even think about their carvers. All of the English, you know, especially Kent and Sussex, sparkling wines are great fun. They're all good value. But they'll never quite come up to your expectations if you're looking for champagne. Just take them on their own level. But if you do want one that's absolutely top-notch, the Westwell was the best of them. The Chapel Down Rosé is excellent. And so, you know, sometimes you can find other interesting varietals like Grillo, but it's difficult. If you want something that's just fun, looks fantastic, cheap and cheerful, makes fantastic Bucks Fizz, this Barini from Tesco's, Brut Blanc de Blanc, £5.25. And if you want to try out the red sparkling wines, try them. You know, on a hot summer's day with ice cream and cherries is probably a good idea. But yeah. For me, just this champagne Blanc de Noir. I don't mind having a Veuve Clicquot, you know, rosé for a special occasion, and I don't mind trying others, and I'll definitely try a Paul Roger. But you know, when you know you can get a really top quality champagne that is always your favourite for just £26 or less, why would you spend £45? But at the same time, if it's a celebration with friends, why wouldn't you spend £45? And if you've got a bit more money to shoot your mouth off, why wouldn't you get Winston Churchill at £215? You know, it's to do with how easily you can let the money go how much fun you want to have, and just your taste experience, really. But yeah, definitely, you know, from the sublime to the ridiculous, £5 to £26, these are the two that I highly recommend. And of course, all the Cremants, you know, and you can only try them yourself and see what you think. But I personally think Sainsbury's Cremant de Loire is a bit boring. But I've got their Limoux one now, so I shall try that and see what I think. But I do love the one from Alsace, from Waitrose. That's really good. You know, the thing is, you can spend whatever you like, but if you look around, there's always something just as good for probably half the price.